Well, I also want to say thank you to you guys. I had so much fun up here with you guys. Appreciate Heartland asking me to be up here. I want to know from you guys, did any of you learn anything new from the story of Joseph this week? Anything maybe you haven't learned before, or maybe something you realized for the first time? You back there. Yeah. Did you have your hand raised or no? Okay, what is it? Sorry, I can't hear you. Can you say a little louder? When his brothers got there and they didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. Sorry, what'd you say? Yeah, you right there. Yeah. You say it a little bit louder. How everything led back to God's plan in Joseph's story. Very good. Right here. Yeah. Say it nice and loud for everyone. When the wife was being all weird and sus with him. All right. Right here. That's very good. It relates to Jesus' story and how he was betrayed. Well, hopefully you guys see that through our theme, Mayday, right? That when life gets crazy, as we saw with our friend Joe or Job, that we can still trust God, that he is good. I'm going to read a little bit from Genesis 50, but then where we are going to be today is in Mark 8. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark 8, verse 27. But I just want to wrap up the story of Joseph, okay? So Joseph's father, Jacob or Israel, they all moved to Egypt. And the famine continues, but because of what Joseph did, they all survive. He saves many people. And then a couple chapters later, Joseph's father dies. And there's this interaction between his brothers and him again, where his brothers are a little worried that maybe Joseph is going to get mad at them again now that their father's gone. And so I just want to read this for you guys. It's in Genesis 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for the evil things we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when he spoke to them. Then if you jump down to verse 20, this is what it says. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about it many people who should be kept alive as they are today." And if I were to summarize the story of Joseph, that's really what it is. What people meant for evil, or when evil things happened, God made it into good. Now, we kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday morning, and it's easy for us to be like, yeah, we can trust God when things are hard. But the reality is, it's always not that easy, right? And that kind of ends the whole book of Genesis. And I think it's pretty cool that we see Genesis open with a couple, Adam and Eve, who are trying to be like God. And Genesis ends with a man who is denying himself and putting his trust in God. So we're going to talk a little bit. Even when these evil things happen, or when sin messes up our life and we're in suffering, how can we continue to trust in God, okay? So if you're with me in Mark chapter 8, verse 27, there's this interaction between this guy, Peter, who was a disciple of Jesus, and Jesus. And Peter's one of my favorite. You see him, he's a very passionate guy, gets him in a lot of trouble. But let's see what happens. So in verse 27, Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ." So all of us here, we all have to answer this question. Who is Jesus to us? Some of you guys last night answered that for the very first time, that Jesus is the Christ. But like Peter, we all have this moment where we have to say, who is Jesus to us? And Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the promised Savior. Verse 30, it says, he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. 31, and he began to teach that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and 3 days later, rise again. Now, the disciples at this point, they were expecting a different kind of Messiah, okay? They really expected someone like Thor, okay? Some big, strong guy to come in and take out the Romans who were in charge at the time. So when Jesus starts talking about how I'm going to die and raise again 3 days later, Peter is like, why would you say that, okay? So in verse 32, this is what it says. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man. So we see Peter is like, Jesus, why would you say that? Right? He rebukes him. He says, no, don't say that. And what does Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Satan. It's the first time he calls anyone Satan besides Satan. And it's because Jesus is trying to correct Peter's view of him as the Messiah or the promised Savior, right? He's not going to be this great warrior in the sense that they're expecting, this great physical warrior who's going to come and win this war. And we often do that about Jesus, right? We often think that Jesus is something that he's not. I remember praying for things like, God, just let my parents say yes to letting me watch that movie, right? Or please let them say yes to let me go do this. Almost like a genie versus a savior. And then this is what Jesus says in verse 34. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to him, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is shocking language back then. Everyone knew what the cross was, okay? It was the worst form of death. And so Jesus saying, pick up this instrument of death. He's letting them know that this is a hard road to follow, okay? So for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus and want to follow Jesus, all your counselors can talk about this. There's this Christian walk that we're on. It's a daily walk. And we have to daily deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him, okay? Now, I have something that should hopefully help illustrate this, but I need a volunteer. You, right there. What's your name? Addie? Come on up, Addie. Let me grab something. Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do. They do got some big fireworks back here. I'm just kidding. Okay. So when we talk about how we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him, do you know what that means? Okay, so what are some things that you guys spend most of your time on? Learning about God? Let's say that's not like godly things. So for me, it's Brawl Stars. I play too much Brawl Stars, okay? So put this on. Anyone else? What's something you spend too much time on? Right here. Watching TV, yeah? Right here. Video games, yeah? Here, hold this. What else? Sleeping, okay. Here, hold this. What else? Your phone. Okay, anyone else back here? Yeah. Video games, what's your favorite video game? You don't have just any video game? I only got one more, okay, right here. Sleeping, okay. So we have all these things, right? And these things aren't bad things, right? Sleep is a very good thing. Brawl Stars, you know, I play with kids in my church. It's not always a bad thing. Video games isn't always a bad thing. What else do we say? TV, it's not always a bad thing, right? But if it replaces the time that we can have with the Lord, it can sometimes become a bad thing. Oh, she's already dropping things. Okay, so Jesus said you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. And if we don't deny ourselves, this is kind of what this looks like, right? We have all these things, and it's hard to then pick up our cross and follow him, okay? So I'm going to place this Bible right here. Without dropping anything else, I want you to try and pick up that Bible. Good job. She did drop her trumpet, though. Okay, you can go have a seat. Here, I'll take all this. These aren't mine to give away, so I'm sorry. So you guys can see, if we don't learn how to deny ourselves, it can be hard to live out this Christian walk, right? So I'm going to talk through just a couple ways on how I personally deny myself and try and pick up my cross and follow Jesus, okay? And the more the stronger relationship we have with Jesus, we see that when these trials come or when we face suffering, it's easier, like we see with the life of Joseph, to trust God in this mayday type thing, okay? So I'm going to talk about hear, pray, talk, live, okay? We hear from God by reading the Bible. We talk to God through prayer. We talk to others about what we're learning from God and what we're struggling with. And then the transformation shows in how we live our life, okay? So I don't know, you guys, how many of you guys have, consistently in some way read your Bible, like at least once a week? Or how many of you guys, read your Bible on your own? A good amount of you, okay? So for me, you know, my life is a little different because I'm older than you guys. But I have to wake up. I have to be the first one awake in my house, okay? So I wake up. First thing I do is I go get coffee. Once my coffee's done, I go sit down with my Bible. And that's how I read my Bible. My son, who's 9 years old, we read our Bible together at night, every night. And that's how he's asked me to help him with that. He doesn't enjoy reading it by himself. He enjoys when I read it. I think it's because I'm a kid pastor, so he's like, I have to. I don't know. But having a daily practice or having some kind of rhythm or something where you're reading God's word really helps in this walk, okay? So on the days that I happen to maybe sleep in a little bit and I don't get a chance to read my Bible, it's much harder for me throughout the day to really be walking with God, okay? The second thing is prayer, okay? These guys had a friend who was hurt. We prayed for him. That was super cool. At breakfast the other day. Prayer is very interesting, okay? It's the way we talk to God, and it's cool. You can say whatever you want to God about anything. He loves us so much. He just wants to know what's going on. So there's all kinds of different ways you can pray. You can just pray before you read your Bible. You can pray after you read your Bible. You can pray for your friend who's hurting. You can pray about anything. God just wants to hear from us, right? We open God's word so we can hear from him, and then we pray so he can hear from us. The third thing, you have a question? What about what? Speaking in tongues. That's something to talk about with your counselors. Yeah. Not everyone does that. And every church thinks differently about it. So I'm not going to talk about it today, but you guys can talk about it. Talk with your friends. So how many of you guys, all you guys are a part of a church maybe not all of you guys, but showing up to church or having a close group of friends where you guys talk about these things, okay? So I have a guys group that I meet with every Thursday morning, and we get there and we talk about how we're doing, how is our families, how's our marriage, what is God showing us, and what are we struggling with? And the sooner you guys can get close friends and start having these honest conversations, the easier it's going to be to walk out this life with Christ. And even if you're not a part of a church, I know some kids, I think a kid here was telling me that you guys started a Bible study at your lunch, at your school at lunch. Like, you guys can do something like that. It's just the idea of you're with people, doing life with people who are your friends, but having honest conversations, right? Not just always talking about Brawl Stars or Fortnite or whatever. And then as we do these things, Jesus transforms us, continues to transform us from the inside, and we live that out with the people around us, okay? So hopefully this week you guys got to see through the life of Joseph that as trials come, as the world gets messed up, we don't have to fear. We can trust in God because he is good, he is sovereign, he loves us. We saw that he proved how much he loved us by sending his one and only son, Jesus, to live a perfect life, die the death we deserve so that we can be in relationship with him. And it's been an honor up here with you guys. I'll be praying for each and every one of you guys as you go back down the hill to hopefully, if you haven't started some of these practices, to start some of these practices for your community. And so thank you. I'll be praying for you guys. As we wrap up our time, would any of you guys like to come up here and pray for camp? You want to? Okay, come on up. Is this mic on? Okay, so if you could pray for everyone as we go back down the hill, that we continue to build our relationship with Christ. Pray everyone that we have safe travels home. You can pray for me. I get to teach in big church once a year. I'm teaching on Sunday. Okay, so I'm excited. I'm talking about family and how we should pass on the faith to the next generation like you guys. So if you want to pray for me, if you don't remember any of that, just pray whatever you feel like, all right?
Bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Dear Lord Jesus, I hope that we can have a great drive home and that we're all safe and that we can learn more about you and that you can heal everybody and to help them with anything they're going through right now and to...
Just say whatever you want. Okay, just say amen.
Amen.
Let me also pray for you guys, okay? Father, again, we thank you for this time up here to be just in the middle of your creation. I'm thankful for every kid that you brought here this week, God. I'm thankful for the opportunity to walk through the story of Joseph with them, to see how good you are, that you are worthy to be trusted. I just pray that we leave here remembering the words of Joseph where he said, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." That we would trust in that, that these kids would know that you work all things to good for those who love you. And I pray for everyone have a safe travels back home. Amen.